You are on the record.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the May 18th board meeting. I'd like Quinn to call everybody board members.
Mr. Wilkins.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Faraday.
Here.
Mr. Kennedy.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Here.
Ms. Brown.
Here.
Mr. Dick.
Here.
Mr. Cruz.
Here.
All present.
Would you continue with the staff and public, please?
Okay. As I point to you, please state your name and organization.
John Springsteen, ADA.
Kirsten Rodvik, ADA. Jimmy Staff, ADA.
Laura Thunder, ADA.
Alan Bailey, Petroleum News.
Park Gardner, BFM.
Dan Brickman, Santex.
Gene Terrio, ADA.
Sydney Hamilton, Architect.
Judea Alvarez, ADA.
Bridget Applegate, ADA.
Ella Zanger, Alaska Journal of Commerce.
Tyler Erickson, ADA.
Jennifer Hilding, ADA.
Sherry Peterson, ADA. Chris Anderson, ADA.
Jerry Judea, Department of Law.
Green Campanet, ADA. Do we got any public on the phone?
Yes.
Can we identify ourselves, please?
Yes, please. Jomo Stewart, Interior Gas Utility.
Any other public? Sounds like that's all, sir.
Thanks, Corinne. Item number four is our agenda, and I believe John has some correct additions or changes you want to make, John?
Yeah, Chair, I'd request that item 7B, the IEP update, be moved after the executive session, and then also request that AO-281 be added to the executive session.
Are there any objections to that request by John? We'll put that into the revised agenda. And agenda is now complete with the revisions. Public comments. Anybody in the conference room wishing to make a public comment this afternoon? Anybody online wishing to make a public comment? Hearing none, we'll close the public comment section. Item number six is prior minutes for March 30th and April 27th.
Move for approval.
Gary, move.
Second.
We have a second. Thank you. Any comments, deletions, corrections, additions? Seeing and hearing none, here's the minutes are approved. Brings us up to item seven, new business. John?
Item 7A, resolution number G15-14A, relates to office building maintenance and repair work. The resolution amends resolution G15-14, which authorized $173,000 for this work, which included roof replacement and replacement of railing windows. The request is to add $40,000 in a work authorization due to extra cost of asbestos abatement and replacing the roof and the need to replace more failing windows. We have Jennifer Haldane in the room to help answer the questions.
Thank you, John. Welcome, Jennifer. Come on out. Questions, Jennifer? Jennifer, if you wouldn't mind, maybe just for some questions. Tell us about the condition of the building, and is this an ongoing, what I would call a typical annual maintenance stuff that we would be with future? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, these are some definite improvements that need to be made. When you did the original resolution, we were told that our roof had about 2 years left. And now we're on the second year, so the repair work does need to be done. When we had it tested last summer, we did discover asbestos, so that's increased the cost of replacing the roof. But we would like to get that done this summer, and that means materials have to be ordered and we need to get on schedules. And we also have additional failing windows, which is why we've requested the additional funds.
Where are the windows at? Are the buildings?
Throughout the building.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, percentage of your windows are failing?
Ooh, I don't know if I can give you a percentage. When you originally did it, it was 11 windows, and now we've had another 3 or 4 fail.
Okay. Is the failure means you're getting moisture between the paint?
Yeah, the seals are gone.
have you up here, Jeff.
Thank you.
Appreciate your service.
Thank you.
And we rarely get to see you up here.
I know. Kryn made me a name.
Your
little name plate. I should have brought that.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Chairman, moves G15-14A.
Second.
Kryn, would you do a roll call, please?
Mr. Wilkin.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Pruitt.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Kryn. Brings us up to the new business, the revised schedule, the executive session.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move that the board enter an executive session to discuss confidential and financial information related to the Interior Energy Project, Mustang Operations Center, strategy and performance in AO-281.
No objections?
Objections.
I guess we'll do that.
You're back on the record.
Okay, so Jerry and Fred, are you with us?
Jerry is.
Okay.
I am too.
Thank you. Thanks for your patience. I'll report that the board has not taken any formal actions on matter discussed in the executive session. Brings us up to item number B, the Interior Energy Project update. Sean?
Should I ask Gene Theriault and his team to present?
Chairman, I'll hopefully make this quick, and other members may come up to augment questions asked by the board. To tick down through the different components, as approved by the board last time, we are looking for the slide gas again under Dan's leadership on our side for the existing customer base and for expansion. The IGU board at their Tuesday night meeting took action so that Mr. Stewart would be able to sign appropriate paperwork with John, so that we have extended the MOU as the IGU board anticipated. There's not been any recent action on the LNG plant, of course, and while we negotiate for the consolidation of the utilities, further work on that has been put on hold. Nothing really new in transportation. On storage, we are looking at exactly when we do need to move forward on storage, knowing that there are long lead time items on engineering, procurement, and also certain things that have to take place in the winter construction season. Mr. Britton has been doing work to refresh the information on that so that we make sure that we don't miss an important deadline. On the storage component, I think I reported at the last meeting that this LNG storage credit was in play a bit on House Bill 111, which was being considered by the legislature. That deals with oil and gas tax credits. That legislation did not pass the body. It has been listed on the governor's special session call, so there will be ongoing work on that. In the Senate Resources Committee, they made the availability of the LNG tax repayment subject to a future specific capital appropriation. In Senate Finance, they made some further modifications to that. There's a repeal of that storage credit that is triggered depending on a number of things. It's sort of like a Russian doll, one thing's inside another. And so I'm working to fully understand that. It appears, though, that the credit still is available. I'm just not sure if it's still tied to money out of the oil and gas credit fund or direct capital appropriation. So I'll be working to fully understand that as they continue to work on a final resolution on that piece of legislation. Utility consolidation, we have passed red line versions of the documents to achieve utility consolidation over to IGU. We have a tentative date set up next week to get together with them, further those discussions. Under the extension of the MOU, the target date is now the end of this month, and both sides feel the, you know, the encouragement from our boards to move forward quickly on that to get those documents in place. Distribution, House Bill 80 did pass. That is the PACE legislation we've been working on for a while. I believe the prime sponsor on that legislation just indicated to the Speaker of the House that he was ready for the bill to be transmitted to the governor. That would start the clock ticking then for the governor to take action. I know a request went out to the state agencies for input for the recommendation package to the governor to consider. So things are in motion for that legislation to be signed. AEA, I know, is working with the large municipalities that would most likely be able to utilize the PACE legislation to figure out now how to make it work. Just the passage of the legislation doesn't make everything spring into action. The local governments will really have to work together to figure out how to make that work. Just regarding potential sources of outside money for that effort, I did distribute to sent information up to Mayor Castle and members of the AEA team recently. The USDA RUS issued the first loans under what's called the RESP program. It appears like the USDA is being very flexible in the terms that they're setting on that money. And if an attractive potential source of money to help with energy efficiency and perhaps conversion to natural gas, because the rate of interest from the USDA is zero, basically. They make the money available for the utility or entity to loan out to customers. It comes with a 0% interest rate from the federal government, and then the local entity that loans to the customer is able to tack on an interest rate to cover the cost of the operation of the program. So that is one federal source of money that is potentially available, and I've made sure that I've passed information on to Mayor Castle and the Interior and also the AEA folks that are working with the local governments on that mechanism. And then other conversion assistance, we're still tracking other sources of money. Mr. Wilkin had copied Mr. Springsteen on a copy of a newspaper article where Senator Murkowski had indicated that there would be EPA funds that could help with the Fairbanks effort. That is a renewal of funds to EPA. A number of years ago, it was $10,000. I think then it was jumped up to $20,000 in the most recent omnibus bill for EPA airshed non-attainment areas. The dollar amount was jumped up to $30 million. The language that Senator Murkowski was able to add into that mechanism that made it clear that Fairbanks, because it's only out of compliance on a seasonal basis, would not be put at a disadvantage in competing for the funds with somewhere like Los Angeles that maybe has, you know, air quality issues year-round. That language has continued. It is a competitive source of money, though, so the Fairbanks source down below will have to put together, you know, a competitive grant to dip out of that $30 million pot. They did so in the last year. They got $2.5 million for wood stove changeouts. Once we get a supply of gas, expanded supply of gas available to the community, should this source of money still be in place or continue, I believe the borough would be able to apply to that source of money to be able to use it for backstopping loans or give an incentive to individual homeowners to change out or change over from fuel oil to natural gas. So that's another source of federal money. It's not steered specifically to Fairbanks, but it is a pool that the Senator's office has made sure that the way the program operates, Fairbanks can compete for those funds. And so, Mr. Wilkin, I'm not sure if that answered your question.
Well, we'll finish. We can come back to that too. Okay.
And, well, that actually is the last slide.
So, we've been, I guess, a bit frustrated that we can't quite reach the level of need in spite of the fact of EPA tap dancing on our head, everyone knowing about the triangle of death, everyone knowing the need that, at least a lot of people knowing the need that we're going to need, that we're, the funds we're going to need to make conversions, make this whole IEP thing work. So I guess I'm frustrated a bit that in order to get these needed monies, it's buried in some grant somewhere that we're going to have to compete with. And when do we get to see the results of latching on to that grant? It's been 2 years now. So $5 million or $10 million just goes a huge way in our project when we finally turn the valve on gas. So that's not the time to start getting money for out of the federal government. Now's the time to do it. So help me understand what they have done, how that helps us.
Well, I think it does help with the immediate PM2.5 problem because they are targeting the money on things they can do right now. The borough obviously put together a competitive application that says this is what we can do with the money right now, and that's swapping out the wood stoves with cleaner burning appliances. Part of the difficulty is right now we can't promise them. We haven't been able to promise them, either as the local government, that a larger supply of natural gas will in fact be available. We hope to get to a point that pulling the trigger on moving forward on that soon. Once that's done, they will then, I believe, be able to work with the EPA Region 10 putting together a grant now to tap into some of this money to help with that effort. But I guess I can understand that the granting agency is not willing to, rank an application on something that might happen in the future. They want to know that it's real. I think the fact that the borough has successfully applied for the stove changeout, and I anticipate it probably will be successful again in this next year, they're building a relationship that as long as the source of money stays there, they'll be able to then transition into, hopefully, tapping into it then to help with conversions to natural gas too.
Who's the lead of that project? Who do we turn to be developing a grant?
It would be the Fairbanks First Borough.
Okay, and who would do that?
I'm not sure who the grant writer is, but I know within the mayor's office, he's got a small core team that's working on the PM2.5 issue. I can certainly find out who exactly that is.
Well, it's an existing federal program today, so there must be a template for an application that we can't fill in all the blanks because of where we are right now. But I would hope that somebody's working on it, and I would like to know who is responsible for at least filling in as much of that application as we can, so that when the time does come, that we are starting from ground zero. Because as we know from day one, since 2013, conversions are what's going to make this work. Demand is what makes this whole project work. So I'm frustrated that we just can't get, given the clout we have and given the need, we just can't get $5 or $10 million. To me, it's quarters in the couch. But okay, get over that. If we're going to work through the system, I want to make sure that we're ready to pull the trigger. And this isn't a surprise to anybody when we're finally going to these 5,000 plus customers that we're going to entice to convert, and that we have the money available to do it. So I really would, it's all right, Mr. Chair, I really would like to be brought up to speed on where we are on, if this is the only federal money available, I'd like to know where we are and what the plan is to get it when it comes time. No, I think that would be very helpful. Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'll find out at the borough level who is involved, who has been involved in tapping into the money that they've been successful in doing so far, and how they see them transitioning to, once they take care of some of the wood stove stuff.
Yes.
and we have a supply of gas, how they plan on then transitioning into
that would be helpful.
Conversion. Because you're right. And in the last round, I know, in speaking with Senator Murkowski's staff, each applicant's application was capped at $3 million. It's my understanding that the borough got $2.5 million, so they did pretty well there. Now that the pool of money has expanded, I'm not sure whether that cap has been lifted. I did ask the senator's staff the other day whether the pool of potential applicants had expanded with the dollars, and they did not think so. So it's a limited number of communities that meet this criteria of being out of compliance or having seasonal, you know, PM2.5, you know, non-attainment within 24-hour periods as a whole calculation. We do qualify, and it's not available to every community across the nation. It's a specific small subset.
And the board should know, too, and you, Gene, you can help with this. The board should know, too, that about a month ago, the EPA turned the screws a little tighter on us. Is that, do you know the details on that?
I just know that they have ratcheted up the pressure on the community that, you know, we're not in compliance yet, and they need to see things, you know, a plan coming in place. And I know every time the Region 10 folks come to Fairbanks, they want an update on the the IDP project. So.
And that change in the way they measure that came after the Region 10 came to town to see what we were doing. So apparently we didn't impress them enough to at least keep things the status quo, which is a bit disappointing. But they're working hard on it, I know that. So anyway, thank you.
Okay. Any further questions, Gene? Fred, Jerry? You good?
All right. I'm good.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Gene.
That brings us under eight, director's comments. John?
I want to take a moment to thank Jennifer Haldane, our human resources director, for her service to Ada. She's been invaluable. We've all benefited from her contributions and advice, as well as benefited from the supplies of motivational candy that she keeps in her office. So, thank you, Jennifer. We will miss you. Other than that, 1-4 and reports, development project matrix is available for your review.
I have a question on that, by the way, on A. So I'm trying to follow the loan dashboard report revolving fund, and as I go to the year-to-date column, the numbers don't add up. We started out with $184 million, $144 million, we made $70 million, and we made $14 million in interest. But we have a balance of 457. There should be, when I do all the math, I come up to roughly 3.25 to 3.24. Where's the other 133 coming from?
I think the difference is the scheduled payments and the payoffs and prepayments, which aren't reflected in the summary on the left hand column.
133?
Yeah, well, we have on loan activity scheduled payments of $14,585,314, payoffs and prepayments of $56,370,987.
So, John, you were thinking that.
Maybe it's the payoffs and prepayments number. Okay, $56,370,987, is that the difference?
These are the blocks in one station, because it doesn't add up. Year to date stuff doesn't add up. I'm sure it's a simple answer somewhere, but I can't see.
Yeah, let me look at it.
Where are we supposed to look? How do we want to change our year to date block?
I'm still calculating. Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it's
I see.
Labeled wrong.
I think that's now I see what's happening. If you take the 384 of 36,670. Add the new funded loans of 144, 371, 731. And then I think the scheduled payments plus the payment payoffs and prepayments equals $70 million.
Yep.
So you take that minus
$2,970,956.37. What is that?
Yeah, it's a subtotal. The principal payments received is a subtotal of the scheduled payments plus the payoff of prepayments.
Okay.
So it should get you there.
So we got it figured out?
Yeah.
So is there a way to present that a little bit different so it's not so confusing?
We could collapse if you weren't interested in the scheduled payments and the payoffs and prepayments. We could just have one column for principal payments received to simplify them.
So, well, so if you start 7-1 of last year with a balance and then you go new loans, I assume those are new loans since 7-1.
Yes.
Okay, that they were funded, so that money went out, but you're adding it back in.
Right, because that's additions to our loan balance.
It's our receivable.
So that starting balance isn't cash?
No, it's not cash. Receivable balance.
Okay.
So I think that the schedule works if you take the starting balance. You add the new loans funded.
Yes.
And subtract the principal payments received, the yellow column.
Okay. And what do you do with the interest?
The interest is separate because that's not part of the loan balance. That's a separate item. But we could simplify it. We could.
You look at the far left column. Read down. It does the same.
Maybe you can add plus.
Yeah. And a minus. Well, I mean, I'm not accounting. Look how long it took somebody to figure it out. Did you know, Gary? You just weren't telling us how to do it?
I didn't know. But I knew there was enough brains involved and decided to be involved.
And then, thank you. The other thing is that on the delinquent report, I just want to attention that it's still very, very small, but the percentage has started to grow since 11 last November. A little increment. Well, I guess it went on February, March was it stayed the same essentially, but it's growing a little bit. Same with the banks. A very small percentage of put that attention to the board.
Yeah, this is kind of a throwback to about 5 months ago. All three loan requests are all refis.
What's in the future all refis?
Yeah, you're right. Depending on certain all refis, 7 million. Yeah. But we're at the end of the fiscal year. It's never mind.
All right. Any more comments from anybody? And I guess I'll take the most for Jim.
Oh, I have more comments. Oh. Yeah, thank you so much. I've been busy outside the boardroom, and I have a couple things I want to report to my colleagues. First is a year ago, we toured the very rough construction of a surgery center when we were on field trip to Wasilla. It's now done. And so I pass that on to John. Significant investment for the community. Last week I had an opportunity to tour the Ketchikan shipyard. It was just fascinating. Doug Ward gave me a detailed tour of that facility, and I was so impressed with the jobs it's creating in the Ketchikan area. We all read the economic analysis report, but really it goes beyond just the financial economic report for that community. 120 young people, average age 26, are now skilled in shipbuilding, and Vigor is very innovative with how they do construction, and some of the innovation was very, very impressive. And if anybody wants more information on that, they can contact me on an individual basis, or if you want photos of what I looked at. They're building the Taslina right now. They're learning so much from building the Taslina. Right behind it comes the Hubbard, and then parked in the shipyard was the Tuscamina that's got big problems. So if anybody's familiar with Marine Highway, that was my tour. It doesn't work.
You can get it for $700,000.
Well, is that the one that they're trying to sell? Mm-hmm. That's fairly old, though.
So I want to thank.
They got you Burwinson.
Yeah. We're done with that. But I want to thank John and his staff for arranging that tour of the shipyard. Then I went to the brand new cutter, the McCoy, at the Coast Guard, and that was Ketchikan. Then I went to Juneau, flew over to Hoonah, and had the distinct pleasure of seeing one of the premier tourism destinations for Southeast in the form of Icy Strait Point. It was just a fascinating tour. Want to thank Russell for arranging that. Then we got back on the ship, went up to Skagway and had the chance to tour the Skagway ore terminal. And again, H&H that actually does the loading on our facility is very innovative, trying to do it efficient, and we're hoping there might be more opportunity, more business development in Skagway in the future using our facility. I kind of briefed John all day yesterday for a few minutes on maybe future opportunities that he and his staff are aware of, as well as some other public information that I don't want to disclose publicly on the record. But if anybody wants more information regarding touring those three assets related to ADA, I'm available. Lastly, just wanted to let the chairman and John know I've been asked to speak to the Greater Wasilla Chamber of Commerce. They kind of invite Ada, and I'd like to volunteer to do that in conjunction with maybe First National Bank and or Northern Bank, because they have significant loans in the valley. So that's next month, and I might want to call staff and see if I get an update on that. And lastly, I hope staff is going to the AOGA meeting coming up. I have a interest in maybe attending that, and wondering if there's funds available for board training to attend this. And also, for the record, all my expenses of touring Ketchikan and the Skagway assets were on my own dime. I absorbed that cost, but I'm interested in maybe a reimbursement on that.
Okay.
Maybe. Anybody else going to this?
I'm looking at it.
You're looking at it? Yeah, I think the agenda looks very, very interesting. And since we're in the oil and gas business,
we're at the anniversary of TAPS. It's the annual AOGA annual conference.
Yeah. Okay.
May 31. You think?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for the time.
It's great to have one out there, Dan.
The board
checking everything out. I think it's. I encourage all board members when they can to see what it is supporting in the country out there, the sector, private, public. So, very good. Thank you. Further comments? We are adjourned.